when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street.
Listen, all you New Yorkers, there's a rumor going around that some of you good people want to leave this town. But you better consult with me before you go.
Why?
'Cause I've been all these places and I know.
Chicago?
Chicago's all right. It's got Wrigley Field and Soldiers Field and Marshall Field, and it's on a nice lake. But it hasn't got the handsomes in the park. It hasn't got a skyline after dark. That's why New York's my home. Never let me leave it. New York's my home, sweet home.
What about Hollywood?
Hollywood's got movie stars and movie czars and cocktail bars and shiny cars and a wonderful climate, they say. But it hasn't got the handy subway train. You seldom find a taxi when it rains. That's why New York's my home. Keep your California. New York's my home, sweet home.
Gee, what's happening in St. Louis?
Lots of people like St. Louis. It's got lots of shoes and the St. Louis Blues, and one of our large rivers run by. But it hasn't got the opera in the Met. It hasn't got a famous string quartet. That's why New York's my home. Not a place to visit. New York's my home, sweet home.
San Francisco?
San Francisco is a lovely place. It's got lots of hills and lots of thrills, and it's on an ocean of some size. But it hasn't got the Bowery of the Bronx. It hasn't got a Harlem honky-tonk. That's why New York's my home. It's my favorite city. New York's my home, sweet home. So save your time and trouble. I say save your railroad fare. I say you better save your time and trouble, brother. Yeah, save your railroad fare. Ah, 'cause when you leave New York, yeah, let me say you ain't gone nowhere.
That, of course, was Ray Charles. He may have Georgia on his mind, but he clearly has New York City in his heart. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on WPPB 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting. Now, the Broadway musical has given us a lot of great New York City musicals, On the Town, Fiorello, Company, but today we're going to celebrate the greatest Broadway New York musical that never was, Gordon Jenkins' ambitious and inspiring Manhattan Tower. And I couldn't ask for a better companion to take the elevator up to that tower than our good friend Will Friedwald, critic for the Wall Street Journal and jazz and pop writer extraordinaire. In fact, Will kind of twisted my arm to devote a whole hour to Manhattan Tower, but I'm thrilled we're doing so. Welcome, Will.
Thank you, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, you're my second favorite radio host. And before you can ask who the first one is, I will tell you that, of course, there can be no other. Count Larry is of course, number one. In fact, I wish that Count Larry could host every show.
Well, his tower is Transylvania
right.
Tower.
It's the dark tower.
All right. So let's talk about Gordon Jenkins, who we're going to build our entire hour around. Who was he? He seems to had his fine Italian hand on every important singer on the 20th century.
All right. Gordon Jenkins, and actually, trying to say this in as few words as possible, he was kind of, in many ways, he was a visionary, a pioneer, a guy that a lot of people sort of followed in the footsteps of, in the sense he was a name above the title maestro, and it's hard to think of anybody else in his generation who fits that description, famous as a conductor, a composer, a songwriter, and a performer himself. And many years later, you could say that Hank Mancini was like that.
Or Quincy. Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones. Michel Legrand. There was nobody quite like that in the 30s and 40s. Most songwriters were completely anonymous, and even like, you know, on Broadway, Rodgers and Hammerstein had their name above the title, but they weren't known as performers. And Jenkins really, you know, he wrote and arranged, he arranged other people's songs brilliantly with a very distinctive style. Most famous for his work with Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole. He did lots with Dick Hames. He did lots with Judy Garland. He did lots with Ella Fitzgerald. Virtually a Peggy Lee. Virtually every major singer of the 40s and 50s that we love worked with Gordon Jenkins at some point.
And I gather he even helped to discover the Weavers.
That's right. He was a great believer in folk music, and he was the one who brought the Weavers to national attention when he recorded them on Decca. And he was the orchestra you hear on Good Night Irene and all the big Weavers hits.
Wow. Well, speaking of folk music, he came up with a song that got repurposed into one of Johnny Cash's most famous songs. It's originally called The Crescent City Blues, and the singer on it is...
Well, this is Beverly Marr, who he later married. She became the second Mrs. Jenkins, and this song was from Seven Dreams, Seven Nightmares, and Johnny Cash more or less just took the melody, changed the tempo and some of the lyrics, and he made it into Folsom Prison Blues. And incidentally, the wonderful Carol J. Bufford is going to sing this at Urban Stages on December 8th, which we'll talk more about later.
I certainly hope so. Here are the Crescent City Blues.
Hear the train a-comin', it's rollin' round the bend, and I ain't been kissed, Lord, since I don't know when. The boys in Crescent City don't seem to know I'm here. That lonesome whistle seems to tell me soon disappear. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, Sue, when you're grown up, I want that you should go and see and do. But I'm stuck in Crescent City, just watching life mosey by. When I hear that whistle blowing, ooh, I hang my head and cry. See the rich folks eating in that fancy dining car. They're probably having pheasant breast and eastern caviar. Now I ain't crying envy, and I ain't crying me. It's just that they get to see things that I've never seen. If I owned that lonesome whistle, if that railroad train was mine, I would bet I'd find a man a little farther down the line. Crescent City is where I'd like to stay. And
I thought I'd drop a line. The weather's cool, the folks are fine. I'm in bed each night at 9. P.S. I love you. Yesterday we had some rain, but all in all, I can't complain. Was it dusty on the train? P.S. I love you. Ride to the Browns just as soon as you're able. They came around to call. I burned a hole in the dining room table. Now let me see, I guess that's all. Nothing else for me to say, and so I'll close. But by the way, everybody's thinking of you. P.S. I love you. Ride to the Browns just as soon as you're able. They came around to call. Oh yes, I burn a hole in the dining room table. Now let me see, I guess that's all. Nothing else for me to say, and so I'll close. But darling, by the way, everybody's thinking of you. P.S. I love you.
Gosh, I love her voice. Kay Starr, who we lost last week, right?
Yes. What a great singer. Great combination of both jazz, country, pop. She was really an across-the-board singer. Sad that we lost her, but she had a great career.
She cuts right through the airwaves. So that was a Gordon Jenkins tune with a Johnny Mercer lyric.
That's from early in Gordon's career, yes.
Yeah. So he clearly established himself as a songwriter. He worked with the best people. And then he has this idea for this... what? Cantata thing?
There's no
symphony.
Word for it. It's just an extended work. He was, at that point in 1945, famous as a radio conductor, most famous for his work on the Dick Haymes Show. And he was from Webster Groves, Missouri. And he grew up dreaming about big city sophistication. And then when he was young, he came to New York, got a little work and stayed here for a while, but then got, you know, he saw that the work for radio and pictures and whatever was coming from California. So after a few sort of, you know, vibrant years, he moved west. And then New York became sort of the embodiment of his dreams, both as a boy and both as a young man.
Sort of Xanadu on the Hudson.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was like that for me, and I was from Brooklyn, you know? So he took the sort of fantasy of New York and wove it into an extended work. There's no other word for it. But what's really interesting, many things are really interesting, he conceived of it as an album. Mm-hmm. At a time when the album was more or less just being invented. And as far as we know, this is the first sort of major original work just written to be an album. And it is essentially Pet Sounds or What's Going On or Sgt. Pepper or, you know, Tommy. It's Tommy 20 years before Tommy.
It's a concept album.
It's
but it was
the original
been
concept
on what,
album.
Four sides of a 78?
It came at the very sort of tail end of the 78 era. It was a four disc a four two discs, four sides, about 17
album.
Minutes.
Yeah.
And it was Nobody knew what to make of it at first, but it really sort of snowballed. And within about 2 years, and when they released it on LP, when the LP was invented, about 2 or 3 years after that, by that point it was a huge hit, and people were going crazy to buy this thing. And yeah. That's how I discovered it, because if you get any sort of 10 albums from the 50s, one of them is usually Manhattan Tower. It was so popular.
Well, Bob Goulet, who's a big hero here at Broadway to Main Street, recorded it a little later in the 64, I think. We'll talk about that. But let's have him kick off the magical city of Manhattan Tower.
It was raining the first time I saw my tower. That is, the first time I saw it in reality. In my mind, I'd seen it many times before. Standing by the ocean, looking out of a train window at night, even the structure I made with blocks as a child was this same tower that long ago. My heart beat faster than the raindrops as I looked up and saw it painted against the sky. The outside of the building was as beautiful as the outside of anything can be, but the inside was pure enchantment. The elevator operator was Merlin. My feet touched the magic carpet as I ran down the hall, and the key that I turned in the lock was Aladdin's lamp. As I entered the tower for the first time, I knew that at last I had found contentment. A home that I would leave many times, yet never really leave. I went over to the window and looked out at my beloved town. The buildings were constant flames, bright, shining, stronger than the rain. And on the street below were the people that built that fire and kept it alive. 9 million keepers of the flame. The sound of traffic on a New York street creates a strange music. It's an orchestra conducted by the Statue of Liberty, with the words engraved forever on her side. It's a great organ played upon by Father Knickerbocker, master organist. I opened my tower windows wide to let the music in.
Give me your
That's the first passage, Magical City, from Manhattan Tower. Now we're getting into the section that people seem to know the most. We'll go to the Gordon Jenkins he expanded it almost threefold in the 1950s?
Like I say, this piece, Manhattan Tower, was widely popular in the early days of the LP, so much so that he did it on Ed Sullivan. He did it at the Capitol Theater, a live version at the Capitol Theater in 1949 or 50. And then Ed Sullivan saw that, and he was so in love with it that he brought that whole production onto the Sullivan Show. And they did it complete, a whole 14-minute segment on the Sullivan Show, which we'll be showing on December 8th at Urban Stages. And then, I mean, the work kept getting more and more popular. When he switched from Decca to Capitol Records in 1956, the first thing they had him do was a new expanded version of Manhattan Tower. And that same year, everything sort of syncs up, they did a full-fledged television production of it with Ethel Waters and Helen O'Connell, Peter Marshall, Cesar Romero, Edward Everett Horton as a wonderful waiter named Noah.
It sounds like all the guest villains of Batman
put
together. All right, let's hear the party sequence from the Gordon Jenkins version, and then we'll segue into one of our personal faves doing my favorite song.
And these numbers do go together. We're just taking them from two different recordings.
Well done. Okay.
One night, gaiety found its way into my tower. Suddenly it was filled with happy people. Thin happy people, fat happy people, tall happy people, short happy people, old, young, many faces from many places. My tower was filled with nice neighborly sounds. The phone ringing, knocks upon the door, many conversations competing madly for attention, and the heartwarming sound of people laughing out loud. We talked mostly about New York, the concerts we'd attended, the humidity, the plays we had seen, the humidity, the musicals on Broadway, and the humidity. We had artists, we had businessmen, we had musicians, and we had a wonderful waiter, a waiter named Noah.
Noah!
Noah!
Where is Noah?
Where is Noah?
Where is Noah?
Where is Noah? Here comes Noah.
Say, Noah, we're going to have some fun.
Empty the ashtrays, get out some ice, cause we're having a party and the people are nice. Clear off the table, order some chow, cause we're having a party.
Please excuse this awful mess.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Faye.
Hi, Pete.
There's a chair over there by the window seat.
Nice place you got here.
I like it.
Hot, isn't it?
Awful.
Must be 20 minutes after.
That's a pretty dress you're wearing, Mrs. B.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, dear.
But where is your husband, Mr. B?
He's working at the office, I fear.
And he better be.
Tell me how.
Brother Ben has a traveling yen. He wants to leave the mill in Crumbs and throng around the mill. He's threatening to leave us and he will.
It seems that 7 million people are too many for Benny. Benny must be nuts.
Listen, all you New Yorkers, there's a rumor going round that some of you good people want to leave this town. Well, you better consult with me before you go.
Yeah?
'Cause I've been to all those places and I know.
Chicago?
Well, Chicago's all right. It's got Marshall Field and Soldiers Field, and it's on a nice lake. But it hasn't got the Hansoms in the park. It hasn't got a skyline after dark.
That's why New York's his home.
Let me never leave it. New York's my home, sweet home.
San Francisco?
San Francisco is a lovely place. It's got lots of hills and lots of thrills. And it's near an ocean of some size. But it hasn't got the Bari or the Bronx. It hasn't got the Harlem honky-tonks.
That's why New York's its home.
Yeah, it's my favorite city. New York's my home, sweet home.
St. Louis?
Lots of people like St. Louis. It's got lots of shoes and the St. Louis Blues. And one of our larger rivers runs by. But let's face it, it hasn't got the opera in the Met. It hasn't got a famous string quartet.
That's why New York's his home.
No, not a place to visit. New York's my home, sweet home.
Hollywood?
Hollywood. Hollywood's got movie stars and movie czars and cocktail bars and shiny cars and a wonderful climate, they say. But it hasn't got the handy subway trains. You seldom find a taxi when it's pouring down rain.
That's why New York's his home.
Yeah, take your California. New York's my home, sweet home. So save your time and trouble. Save your railroad fare. I said save your time and trouble. Save your railroad fare. 'Cause when you leave New York, man, you don't go anywhere. It's a city where a man can fulfill his dreams. The only town that's left that's got three baseball teams.
That's why New York's his home.
Let me never leave it. New York's my home, sweet home.
Our good friend, always welcome, Sammy Davis Jr. Now, I imagine the lyrics he messed around with as time went on, because that lyric refers to New York still has three baseball teams. I guess a year after he recorded it, they no longer would.
One of the more telling features about the political mood of that time, and this is why one of these reasons why this work is still prescient. We're not playing the Statue of Liberty sequence, but Jenkins was the first to set the Emma Lazarus poem, The Great Colossus, to music, even before Irving Berlin and Miss Liberty.
Wow.
And when you listen to that now, you think, boy, this work is still relevant. And another thing that would catch your attention, when you listen to the 1945 version of the party versus the 1956 version of the party, one of the lines in the narration is, I had many friends, many faces from many races,
yeah,
which you could say in 1946, but in 1956 they had to change it to many faces from many places. So the idea of having a multiracial friendship was acceptable right after the war, but not in the McCarthy era.
Wow, and Sammy Davis was his own one-man multiracial
friendship. That's true. That's true.
This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street. Today my guest is Will Friedwald, and we're looking at Gordon Jenkins' Manhattan Tower. So Patti Page, a great singer of the 50s, also took a shot at Manhattan Tower as a complete version.
It's the songs from Manhattan Tower, but I think she felt silly. She doesn't do the whole story, the whole narration, the whole, Megillah.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, she does all the songs, and she throws in a couple of other interesting Gordon Jenkins songs. We're going to have her doing Learning My Latin, which is one of the songs that was written for the expanded version, for the TV version in 1956.
Awesome.
Omnes scalia tres partes divisa est. I'm learning my Latin and I'm passing the test. That means that all of Gaul's divided in parts of three. am learning my Latin. Get a load of me. Ama vie, I have love. Ama visti, thou hast love. Ama vie, he has love. Ama vimu, we have love. Ama veri, thou mayest. Ama visi, thou mightst. Is my conjugating up to par?
Your verbs are really quite irregular.
Vini, vidi, vici, as they used to say in Gaul. I'm learning my Latin, and I'm having a ball. Having a ball. Thou hast love, ama vi, he has love, ama vi, we have love, ama veri, thou mayest, ama vi, si, thou mightst, is my conjugating up to par.
Your verbs are really quite irregular.
Vini, vidi, vici, as they used to say in Gaul.
She's learning her Latin.
It makes me feel I can be on the highest limb of the tree. Some people think that Manhattan is noisy and dirty and unrefined, but sooner or later they find that New York's a state of mind. And I love the state my mind is in. It's a hurricane named Hercules, and through my brain there blows a breeze from the harbor where the statue stands.
She's smiling at you and saying, hey boy, here's a town that you can enjoy while you're young.
And young is better than old in a town where the streets are paved with golden rainbows and diamonds studded incandescent stars to light my way to love. I saw a face in the crowd, and it looked a lot like your face. Once upon a dream, I heard a laugh and a sigh, and they sounded just like yours. Finding you is a sweet surprise. I can't believe my eyes. It's Christmas, but July's not through. So as long as I may live, the dream I hold in my heart always will be you. Man, I'm a man who loves Manhattan. New York's a glass of champagne. And when I'm not feeling my oats, brother, I'm feeling no pain. Every time I hear a Broadway drum, it says to me, come listen, come listen,
come listen, come listen.
Boom. The end of a track of Robert Goulet from Manhattan Tower. So, Will, you are putting this together for one evening where all the thousands upon thousands of fans of Manhattan Tower will assemble in one place to enjoy what exactly?
We'll converge. It'll be like Coachella for Manhattan Tower fans. It'll be amazing. It's going to be December 8th at Urban Stages in the sleepy autumnal hamlet of right underneath Penn Station, West 30th and 8th Avenue. And this is because this is both the 60th anniversary of the expanded version, but the 70th anniversary of the original version, which was released in 46. So I twisted the arm of my editor at the Wall Street Journal to let me do a story about it. As you can see, this has been one of my obsessions for many years. And then I twisted the arm of Peter Napolitano at Urban Stages. And, you know, the third arm, of course, that I twisted was yours.
Ow.
But it's going to be
the
a
man with
really,
three arms.
We're just going to have singers and piano. I wish we could have a 50-piece orchestra and chorus, but we're going to do some of the highlights. And we also are going to show some really rare and wonderful video. Famously, the next song, which is the song from the expanded version, became the number one song for female singers, just as New York's My Home became the number one song for male singers. And some women did it too. But famously, Anne Bancroft sang it on the Perry Como show.
Wow.
And a young comedy writer named Mel Brooks was standing in the wings. And that's when he first fell in love with Anne Bancroft is when she was singing this next song.
And married, in fact, they did get.
And married they got.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's not my cup of tea. They won't throw rice at me for a while yet. I have no plan to wed, be resolutely led down the aisle yet, with a smile yet. When the organ plays, oh, promise me I will be an absentee. For the nonce I choose to be fancy free. They can throw old shoes, but they won't hit me.
Throw as hard and aim as best they might. Who will they hit?
Not me. I want to dance until the darkest heavens turn gray, until the dawn strolls in with the day. Then I'll say, don't let the band get away.
Wah, wah.
But matrimony, I'm not ready yet.
Wah, 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 wah.
Married, I can always get.
You bet.
It's not for me, with all its smug connubial joys, that ever constant smashing of toys wrecks your poise. While hubby is out with the boys,
wah, wah.
No wedding gown for this silhouette. Married, I can always get. I'll live the life that I'm used to. I'll get a ring when I choose to, because by now I have found that the nicest rings are on a merry-go-round. I'll be blasé with any man whose motives are base. I'll keep each wily wolf in his place till the chase finally ends in embrace. But as for wedlock, unlock me my pet. Married, I can always get. I want to find an ardent swain who'll gaily pursue, and when he drinks champagne from my shoe, that's my cue act like a shy ingenue.
Wah, wah.
As we croon a lover's duet.
Married, I can always get.
I'll go the way that the wind blows along the path that is primrose. I have my plan all rehearsed. I will kiss anybody who will kiss me first. I'll take a cruise into a more adventurous clime. And if the captain's still in his prime, he will find you don't have to sail all the time. I wanna stay. stick to romantic roulette.
Hop, 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 hop.
Married I can always get.
I'm because married.
Married I can always get.
You bet.
Not yet.
Wow, we're looking at the great musical theatricality, even though it was never a theater piece per se, of Manhattan Tower. And so the quick question before we get to Dick Hames, Will, is did anyone ever think of staging this as a musical?
There was always talk. I mean, they did it at the, I think it was the State Theater or the Capitol Theater in 1949 as a stage show. And then they did this television musical. And I'm sure Gordon, and there was an announcement that there was going to be a movie version starring, get ready for this, Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, and Judy Garland.
Wow.
But of course, it's just one of those things that press agents,
right,
you know, put into papers without there ever being a real
plan. The road to Sixth Avenue.
Right, exactly. But there was always the road to Midtown. There was talk, but it never came to fruition. But there are so many versions that we do have of it, you know.
Yeah.
At some point, I would love to see like the New York Pops or an orchestra like that.
Somebody interesting, yeah. So Dick Hames was a very important person in Jenkins' life. He arranged and worked with him quite a lot. So we'll hear a little of Robert Goulet's setup for, I think, this most beautiful ballad for Manhattan Tower.
One day, love found its way into my tower. Love came through the door with a big bundle of happiness under her arm. Love walked in and took me by the hand, and the sound of a million violins filled the room. And each note that they played became a glance, or a sigh, or a kiss. Love sought out my tower like a stranger far from home, but in just a little while, two strangers became friends. And we knew that no matter where the sound of music should lead us, the tower would always be our home.
Stay.
Now, Gordon Jenkins wasn't quite finished with the Isle of Manhattan. He wrote the Skyscraper Blues for a film?
This was from a show called Along Fifth Avenue. Okay. And the lyric is by Tom Adair in this case. And it's sort of, the piece was also recorded by Tony Bennett and a few other people. It's going to be on our Urban Stages show. It's sort of the first sort of addendum to Manhattan Tower.
Okay. So here is from the very aurum of Manhattan Tower, I think a singer, I could confidently say one of our favorites, certainly a favorite of Broadway to Main Street, Chris Connor, singing Skyscraper Blues, music by Gordon Jenkins.
When you're walking down the street in New York and you haven't got a friend in town, then a funny thing can happen. A funny thing can happen when you look up at the buildings all around. They're looming bold and high against the cold gray sky. And a funny thing can happen. A funny thing can happen. If you let those lonesome buildings get you down, you get the skyscraper blues, the skyscraper blues. You get the feeling that they're hemming you in. The Empire State, the RCA, the Chrysler Building so tall and so gray. You get the skyscraper blues, the tall building blues. The wind comes whipping round them with a moan. Oh, it's murder to lose those skyscraper blues when you walk in New York alone. A million faces swarm all around you. You search them for a friendly smile or two, but they're only around you, and you know they're all as lonesome as you. You've got those skyscraper blues, the tall building blues. The wind comes whipping round you with a moan. It's murder to lose those skyscraper blues when you walk in New York alone. All alone, the big bad New York alone.
lovely resonant voice of Chris Connor. There is something interesting, Will, especially just hearing that version of Skyscraper Blues, that you said early on Gordon Jenkins was attracted to the magic of the city, the ambition of the city, but he also captures kind of the loneliness at the center of that. I hear echoes of Lonely Town from On the Town and stuff like that. What do you think he's playing with at the end of the day?
Well, he's dwelling on both sides of it, you know. I mean, New York is like this heightened place of heightened drama. So even, you know, the highs are higher and the lows are lower. The sads are sadder and, you know, the happiers are happy. So when he gets sad, of course, Jenkins is famously sad. You know, he's known for his famous minor strings, major minor string progression. That's in almost every arrangement he did, or, you know, a lot of them. And it's brilliant. It's to me, what the amazing thing about Manhattan Tower is that the form is so visionary and forward-thinking, but the content is so, for lack of a better word, old-fashioned.
Yeah, but sort of borders on the corny.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And the conflict between the two is what really drives the work, I think. I'm, as you know, I'm obsessed with this piece.
Well, I want to thank you for helping to share Manhattan Tower with us. It's a piece I didn't know about. It fits into this tradition of Ballad of Americans or No for an Answer, these cantatas that great composers wrote. Talk briefly about the Urban Stages event, and then I want to turn, of course, to the chairman of the board.
Yes. So it'll be Thursday, December 8th, 9 p.m. at Urban Stages, and it's going to be about half live singing and half really amazing film clips. But we're going to have the wonderful Leanne Marie Dobbs, who was just in himself and Nora, the great jazz singer Gabriel Stravelli, the wonderful blues and jazz and cabaret singer Carol J. Bufford, Margie Jean Quinto and her group, and among others, the incomparable Sigali, and a great guest narrator, the wonderful Bill Boggs, is going to be narrating.
Great. He's all over New York.
Oh, he's fine. He's Mr. New York.
So obviously Jenkins finished out his career with Sinatra, arranging for him, writing for Sinatra, and wrote a song that I think Sinatra sings at in the November of his years incredibly well. So talk for a second about This Is All I Ask.
It's just one of the classic Jenkins songs. It was a hit for Tony Bennett when he was only 33 years old. Sinatra came to it a few years later, and this is a great example of hearing Sinatra singing a Jenkins song in a Jenkins arrangement. And as you say, this was when he was about to hit 60, so he's certainly looking at the September of his years.
And he sure gives a shout out to Gordon Jenkins. Thank you, Will, for coming and showing us Gordon Jenkins' work.
This next song is probably the best sample I can suggest for you tonight from the pen and brain of the great Gordon Jenkins. When Gordy wrote a song, he wrote the words and the music and the orchestration, and this particular song was obviously his shining hour. As I approach the prime of my life, I find I have the time of my life. Learning to enjoy at my leisure all the simple pleasures, and so I happily concede. This is all that I ask. This is all that I need. Beautiful girls walk a little slower when you walk by me, lingering sunset. Stay a little longer with that lonely sea. Children everywhere, when you shoot at bad men, shoot at me. Take me to your strange enchanted land. Grown-ups seldom understand
wandering rainbows leave a bit of color for my heart to own. Stars in the skies make my wish come true before the night, before it has flown. And let the music play as long as there is a song to sing. Then I will be younger than spring. Younger than spring.
That a beautiful song. Gordon Jenkins.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.